Are you glad you came to church today?
Yes.
I think the singing has been phenomenal. And I appreciate the welcome. I also appreciate the communion.
Yes.
And I appreciate the illustration that John used. It seems every time I have the privilege of speaking, someone is trying to make my point. And done it again. But that is the evidence of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Let's go to our God in prayer. Almighty God, we are grateful and thankful that you have brought us here today to be with each other, to be at your feet, to be able to sing songs to you, songs that lift our spirit up, songs that remind us of your awesomeness, of your greatness, of your grace, of your power. We are grateful. We pray, Father, as we share the word now, that you will speak to our hearts.
Amen.
That you will take away my flesh and fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As the scripture says, that I can speak your very words. That you will allow it to have the right impact. And now I just remember the day that Jesus fed 5,000. Everyone had their fill. I pray that today, all of us will have our fill.
Amen.
I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. A well-known conductor was holding a rehearsal one night with a vast array of musicians and a 100-voice choir. While the mighty chorus sang out, there was also the purr of organ, blare of horns, and clashing of cymbals. Far back in the orchestra, the piccolo player thought, in all this noise, it does not matter what I do. So he stopped playing. Suddenly, the conductor flung up his arms, stopping the music. Someone he knew had failed to play the instrument. The shrill notes of the piccolo had been missed. Just as many notes are needed to make a tune, and many colors needed to make a painting. So many gifts are essential for the function of the body of Christ.
Amen.
You know, the title of my message is Use Your Gift or Gifts to Build the Church.
Amen.
Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 12. If you see me moving to the middle, that means because the lighting is better there than where I'm standing. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, it reads, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but was it transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. I don't know about you, just reading that passage of scripture just sent shivers down my spine to understand that we all have God gifts. God gives it to us
according to our faith. He gives us gifts to be used to build His church.
You know, my first point is unity in diversity. You know, in verses 4 to 8, Paul likens the church to the human body, which was the analogy that John used earlier, you know, about the body, every part of the body, you know, just being one. He says, as the body is one with many parts, all the parts perform different functions. So in the church, we have different gifts. All the gifts are needed for the church to function effectively. If your gift is prophesying, do it to the best of your ability. If it is serving, let's serve. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let's do that. If it's encouraging people, let's do it cheerfully. I don't know about you, when I read that passage of scripture, I said, wow, what actually is my gift? Am I actually using my gift to its maximum? To bring glory to God? Because God is the giver of gifts. And He gives us gifts for a purpose. And that is to build His kingdom. Do you know where your gifts are today? Some of us may not even know what our gifts are. I've got an encouragement from you. You know, Moses actually did not discover his gift until he was 90. Because he was meant to lead the people of God out of Egypt. So for the first 90 years of his life, he was doing various jobs. Until the day that God reached out to him and said, I have a purpose for you. You go to Egypt and you will lead my people out of Egypt. You know, guys, wherever we are today, whatever is going on in your life, God has given you a gift.
Right.
And He expects you to use that gift to its maximum. Right. I remember a story of a lady with a biscuit jar. You might have heard about this lady. If you have, so it's always better make a second time around. It was sort of like in a house church setting. And a lot of people, you know, obviously were visiting this house church. Every time they had a meeting, this lady would stand outside the house with a tin full of biscuits. Welcoming people with smile on her face, with joy, with the right attitude that you would expect of somebody who is full of the Holy Spirit. And everyone would take biscuits and go in. So at the end of the year, everyone in the house church were just talking about how God has done amazing things, you know, in that house church. How people have come from different walks of life to know about God. And people were sharing individually how God had actually allowed them to invite a work colleague, you know, to, you know, the house church, and God changed their life around. And when it came to this lady's turn, she was the only one that didn't have a story, you know, about somebody that she personally, you know, invited to the house church. And she said, well, you know, I'm just grateful to be a member of this church. But people who have been baptized in that house church, they all just stood up and said, no, don't give us none of that, woman. It was your smiles. It was you staying at the door, giving biscuits as we come in. You welcomed us in. You made us feel so welcome that we said, wow, if this is what a house group is, we want to be part of this. The woman looked up and said, why? I thought I was insignificant. But see, God can use what we consider to be insignificant to actually bring glory to His name. Do you think you are insignificant today? Sometimes I feel I'm insignificant. If you come to where I work in Twickenham, man, if you have been to Twickenham before, I mean, we wouldn't even go there. Sometimes I feel so intimidated, you know, whenever we're having, you know, staff meeting. Sometimes when I come out of the train station, you know, not many people, you know, of my color in Twickenham, in Richmond. And sometimes it could be intimidating. But you know what? As I walk out of the station, I say, my God has put me here to do something.
Absolutely.
Sometimes we can minimize the impact that we can have.
Right.
I want to encourage you this morning that in the eyes of God, you are very significant.
Right.
Can you actually say that to yourselves? Can you say, in the eyes of God, I'm significant? Significant.
Oh, man.
You can see how passionate I am about this word. But you see, we are all significant people in the eyes of God.
Amen.
But the world may want to put us there. Guys, we should actually understand whose child we are. Do you forget that sometimes? That you have the Holy Spirit of the living God in you.
Mm-hmm.
You should be walking around with steps, with bounces in your steps. You should be walking tall, feeling great about the God that you have. You know, this God that is great that we have has given us gifts. You know, God has given us each of us one special gift. At least one special gift. We'll look at that later on. A vital aspect of our spiritual growth and development is to discover and use our spiritual gifts. I think that's important. You know, we all have a part to play in the building of this church. The gift that God gives us, expect us to use it to bless other people. You know, sometimes when you see the sun shining on the mirror, it reflects an image. You know, the spirit that God has given us, we need to reflect that to other people.
Amen.
We need to have impact around us, whether it's in our own home, whether it's in our own community, whether it's in our workplaces, whether it's even in the church. You know, these gifts need to be evident. You know, just as God arranged every part of the body differently, yet all function as a unit. Each part compensating and complementing for each other. So should the church be. Don't you agree with me?
Yeah.
What part are we playing in the building of this church? You know, my encouragement is for every single one of us to be able to identify what our gifts are and be able to use them to build this church. You know, just preparing this message, I thought I would read the book of Nehemiah. If you have not read the book of Nehemiah before, it is a great book. You know, in the Old Testament times, for a city not to have a wall was unthinkable. Because the walls around the cities protect the city. And the walls of Jerusalem were broken. They were down. And Nehemiah was in exile. He had to organize a group of people to go back. First of all, he had to seek, you know, permission from the king of the city where he was at. And the king gave him permission to go back to Jerusalem to build the city. In chapter 3, he reads. Says, Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zachor, son of Imri, built next to him. The fish gate was built by the sons of Hasenai. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Meremoth, son of Uriah, dishonored Hashkoz. Repair the next section. Next to him, Meshulam, son of Berechiah, dishonored Meshachabel. Well, these are tongue twisting names. Thank God we don't actually name each other these names.
We can try.
It says, repairs, and next to him, Zadok, son of Bana, also made repairs. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa. But their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervision. The whole of chapter 3 is littered with people contributing to the rebuilding of this wall. Let's just move on to verse 28. It says, above the horse gate, the priests made repairs, each in front of his own house. Next to them, Zadok, son of Immer, made repairs opposite his house. Next to him, Shemaiah, son of Shetaliah, the guard at the east gate, made repairs. Everybody was contributing, making repairs. In chapter 4, in verse 6, it says, so we rebuilt the wall till all of its ridge have its height. But the people worked with all their hearts. Guys, when we have a task at hand, God expects us to do it with all our hearts. You know, the priests, they were the leaders, you know, the people in those days. Even our leaders here today, we are expected to contribute to the rebuilding, you know, of this church. Would you agree with me?
Yeah.
And that's why we try to work hard and tirelessly to do whatever we can, you know, to make sure that the church is moved in the right direction. And we need help. We need you guys. If you feel that your gift is in one of the areas of responsibility that we have, please come and speak to each and every one of us. Because we all, as you know, in the leadership have areas of responsibilities. We need you to come and talk to us so that we can be able to gather together all the gifts to ensure that the body of Christ is fixed properly. Are you with me on that? If you are visiting with us today, or you have been attending our church for some time, you know, when it comes to rebuilding, you know, the wall, that's a parallel that Ezra talked about. That is rebuilding our lives. You know, I remember the first time when I came to a church service like this, I actually thought somebody told the preacher about my story. Because the message the preacher was preaching on that day was about my life. How I needed to live my life of sin and turn to God. How I needed to relinquish my ways, the ways I was living my life, to take on a new image, to see that there is hope for me. You know, today if you are visiting with us, is there anything in your life today, God, that you feel that needs to be fixed? You know yourself. I believe God has brought you here today to hear His words, to be part of this group today, to hear something that probably, you know, ginger something in your heart, to see that maybe those gaps need to be filled with the Word of God. And in Jeremiah 29, in verse 11 to 14, I'm going to read that very quickly. Are you with me?
Yeah. All right.
If you are visiting with us, this is for you. Incidentally, this was the passage that was read out the day I visited the church as well. It said, in verse 11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back from captivity. What an encouraging passage of scripture. The Bible here is telling us that God has a plan for you. Plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope
and a future. You will call upon him. Come and pray to him. You will seek him and find him when you seek him with all your heart. What an encouraging passage of scripture. I don't know whether you have been, what you have been seeking, what you have been looking for over the years. God is saying to you, seek me, and I'll be found by you. What is that gap in your life? I want to fill that gap for you. I want to take control over, take over your life, and give you a life that is worth living.
You know, I'm glad I responded. This is about 23 years ago, when I first visited the church. I'm glad I responded. And I'm sure we all have stories. Every member of this church has a story to tell about how we made the decision to turn away from our old ways and take on a new way, which is of God.
God has blessed you with gifts. And you have those gifts.
What do you think God expects you to do with those gifts? Just sit on them? Do nothing with them? Or use them? My second point, if you don't use your gifts, you will lose it. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. That's what it says in the Bible. If you don't use it, you will lose it. Matthew 25, I will take you from verse 14. The parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another he gave 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put the money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents, he gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went up, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with him. The man who had received 5 talents broke another coin. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share with your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and went out and hid your talents in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more. But he will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into darkness, where there will be wisdom and gnashing. See, some of us have been blessed with more than 1 talent. Some of us have more than 1 talent. Whether we have 1, whether we have 5, whether we have 10,
expectation is the same.
It was.
That we can use our time.
And I believe that God will actually give us additional time depending on how we have utilized the current one that we have. I don't know whether you have had a chance to visit the Millennium Dome before it closed down. How many of us had a chance to see the Millennium Dome? Amen. Just, I think a day or two before it closed down, I said, I must go to this dome. And I'm glad I did. As you walk through different zones, you probably recollect coming to a point where there were two doors. One on the right, big-headed, no skills. One on the left, skills. In my usual way, I said, why should they have a door with no skills? I'm going to go through that door to see why they have to be through no skills there. Trying to bat my way through that door, it wouldn't open. I moved back. Oops. I'm pushed it in my head. The door wouldn't open. Then I called one of the guys. I said, why wouldn't this door open? He said, because we kind of arranged things in such a way that people who come here will recognize that I think they have all the skills. So everyone has to go through the skills. No matter how hard it is, to go through the skills, it wouldn't open. Then I walked away from that and said, wow, what an amazing illustration. Every living human being has a place. Yes. One time. One time. To do something. And the Bible tells us here, if we do not use the time that God has given us, it will be taken away and given to somebody else. I don't know about you. When I read that, I said, wow, I had to get on my knees and pray. I said, God, what is the talent that you've given me that I am not giving right now? Please don't take it away. Please allow me to discover it and be able to use it to its maximum. You know, there are so many needs to be met in this church. It might be your gift that we are actually waiting for to unlock and make God for certain things. My encouragement is that you will see that you are valuable. You will see that you are significant. You will see that this gift that God has given you needs to be used to its maximum. You know, there's another thing I want to bring out from that passage. It says, to the servant that the man utilizes his gift. He said, you weak, lazy servant. How would you feel if somebody walks up to you and says, you wicked, lazy servant? You know, when we fail to utilize our gifts, that's how God sees us. And what does the word you can engender in your own heart? I thought I would just check out here some words. Evil. Immoral. Just imagine that. That's how God views us when we fail to utilize the gifts that He has given us. Not only does it describe us that way, he will take that gift away and give it to somebody else. I pray that that doesn't happen to any of us. Yeah. Let's check out another scriptures in 1 Peter chapter 4. All right. In 1 Peter chapter 4. Pick it up from verse 10. It says, each one should use whatever gift he has received
to do what? To serve others. To serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in his various form. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very word of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides.
Right.
So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. I appreciate that.
Whatever your gifts are, as he says there, he says, if we speak, we should speak as one speaking the very word of God. If we serve, we should serve with all our hearts. If we want to contribute to the needs of others, let us do it generously.
Amen.
If our gift is to encourage people, let us do it cheerfully. It's our gift, whatever your gifts are. I'm sure you would have gotten the drift of the message today. It's about us utilizing our gifts to its maximum. Just imagine if you are working to your maximum and the person next to you is doing the same. And it now has a domino effect. Everybody else is using their gift to the maximum. Can you see why in the book of Acts there was only the person that had it?
That's true.
Because everybody was working to their maximum. Can you see why? In Nehemiah, the war was completed in a very short time because everyone was doing their best.
I just want you to remember in closing, just as many notes are needed to make a tune, many colors needed to make a painting, so many gifts are essential for the function of the body of Christ. I will read again the piece I read at the beginning. Say, when no conductor was holding a rehearsal, one night with a vast array of musicians and a 100-voice choir. While the mighty chorus sang out, there was also the pearl of honor, blares of honor, clashing of cymbals. Far back in the orchestra, the piccolo player thought. In all these notes, it doesn't matter what I do. So he stopped playing. Suddenly, the conductor flung up his hands, stopping the music. Someone he knew had failed to play his instrument. The string notes of the piccolo had been missed. Just as many notes I knew to play music. Every one of us is here to play music. Thank you for your time. Amen.